Boys and girls, it's Dirty Thunder Radio Club. My name is Alfie Cannock, and I'm joined by all-round scumbag.
Himself, I guess. I'm Pat, anyway, and it's nice to be here. Let's do a little recap, Dirty Thunder recap.
Yeah, we're going to get a little political later. This is our first political episode, but we won't spoil our guest just yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep
right.
Hanging on.
But before we get into that, I'll just remind everybody that we had the Coogee Comedy Night at the Coogee Bay Hotel on Monday night, and that was fantastic. We had Jen Carnevale and Ben Darso. Adelaide's Ben Darso headlining the comedy night.
Is he
there
from Adelaide?
Originally he's from Adelaide, but he lived in Perth for a long time, and now he just travels around the world in Australia doing comedy. He's going over to Canada in August for a couple of months, not working Yuck Yucks, but another club over there.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah. So he was headlining, and then they both, Jen emceed Wednesday night, the Dirty Thunder comedy night, and Ben headlined again, and that was just a cracker night. That was sold out show.
As it always is.
We had our Pat Doherty's late night show on Sunday night as well.
We did. I was there.
You were there. No one knew. He wasn't saying anything funny, but they just thought he was working the panels, and he was to an extent. So that was good of him.
That was good. That was amazing.
We had our first
house band
in particular. Finally,
the two for
ones. We have a house band now, and they're called the Two for Ones. They're a 3-piece band, and they're better than the Roots, in my opinion.
Yes,
in my humble opinion, they're better than the Roots.
So check that out. The Pat Doherty Late Night Show every second Sunday in Manly.
Yeah, the next one is coming up on the 1st of July.
That'll be fun.
And we're half sold out already. It is a free event, but we're half sold out. So make sure you come along 7 o'clock to get your seat for that show. And let's introduce our guest.
Would you like me to do the introduction?
Do an introduction.
Oh, it's normally your job.
I feel like this is more serious. So it's like
this week we're joined by the person who has been recently pre-selected to run as the Labor candidate for the New South Wales seat of Balmain. She'll be fighting hard next year to retake that seat, which is currently held by the Greens. So please welcome to the Dirty Thunder studios, it's Ellie Howes.
Ellie Howes, welcome.
Thanks, guys.
How are you doing?
To be here.
You good?
I'm having fun on the campaign trail. It's good.
Are you really? Right?
Yeah. It's great.
What's the day-to-day of a campaign trail?
Look, a lot of it involves getting out there and just talking to people, just meeting people, talking to them. Mm-hmm. Doing lots of policy readings. I've just been combing through the budget papers because the New South Wales budget was released on Tuesday.
So
there's a lot of reading, a lot of talking, a lot of listening.
Because you're new to this, so this you've got to get up to speed. Is that right?
Well, I'm sort of across a lot of the kind of big policy issues because I've been living in the area for a large number of years, but I've been obviously more focused on health because I'm a health researcher and I'm doing my PhD in public health.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm very across all the health stuff, but it's just some of the other areas that you got to get up to speed on. So the powers of the Port Authority and things like that, I quite honestly didn't know anything about until some,
because that's a big issue in Balmain, isn't it?
Yes, the Glebe Island issue has come up numerous times. Lots of people have spoken to me about that. But sort of things like that, you got to get across and get across it pretty quickly.
I think that we section Glebe Island off altogether.
Oh, I think we should build affordable housing and, retail outlets and use it for that.
That does sound way more sensible than my idea. Yeah. I was thinking just cut it off. Maybe get it in a West Luna Park in there.
With a comedy club.
Then there would definitely be noise complaints from residents.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we go about getting those people to leave?
I'm just kidding. No, I need them to vote for me.
Throw their head back in disgust.
Please don't insult the constituents.
I know. We're so early in and I've already insulted everybody. I apologize. No, that's what's another one that is so the Port Authority is one that's unfamiliar to you, and then what's another element?
Look, the other area that there's so much detail about it is major kind of infrastructure projects like WestConnex, which has obviously been really contentious in the inner west and in the local community, and just the sort of complexity of the issues has been it's pretty mind-boggling. So I can understand why normal non-political people just kind of want to switch off and go, what does that have to do with me?
Did I read correctly that there's a political inquiry about WestConnex now and the health issues surrounding it?
So what Labor announced today was that we would hold what's called a judicial inquiry into WestConnex.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly is that?
Well, it's basically where you... it is a public inquiry, but a judge... an inquiry that's led by a judge, so it is a legal inquiry, so to speak. You basically have a big public inquiry where you ask a whole bunch of very deep and probing questions about how a project like this actually came into being, given that there has been so much kind of secrecy and behind closed doors kind of deals, things have been approved without having any kind of kind of business case sometimes.
Yeah, right.
The environmental impact statements have been pretty...
horrific.
Yes, yeah. So, I think that there's... it's kind of this whole issue of transparency, should government be able to make decisions and then not be able to show the public why it has made those decisions? And I actually think that public should absolutely be accountable and transparent 100%, for every decision
it makes. I totally agree. Yeah, 100%.
Because when things are not transparent, how can the public actually, judge something on its merits and go, actually, is this a good thing or not? But the reason the government has been really secretive about it is because they've done deals with
Some large private sector companies.
And that's what the public inquiry should bring to light.
Yeah, right.
So if someone wanted to get informed about WestConnex at the moment, obviously you're saying a lot of it's a bit secret, a bit of secret squirrels going on, but what is the best way to get informed? Because it is such a hard issue to...
What have you been reading? There's been obviously a lot of community groups who've been really active and vocal on it, and they've submitted all kinds of things from freedom of information requests and so on. I suppose other ways... Look, whatever is publicly available...
Has been doctored? Don't trust it? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying whatever's publicly available is actually only telling part of the story. The bigger issue at hand is that you essentially have the government selling off contracts to build major infrastructure projects, and there's no public scrutiny or accountability over it. Because once you go into something with a private sector company, this term commercial in confidence sort of keeps popping up,
and
they refuse to release contracts and things like that. So I think the challenge with something like that is we actually don't know the full story yet, because
we need a WikiLeaks.
Well,
that's what we need. We need a WestConnex leaks.
Yeah. Well, look, I think there's plenty of people, particularly in the Inner West community, who've been doing a lot of kind of work in that space. So,
yeah, right. You got to love the Inner Westies for that kind of stuff. Some vigilante sort of documentation finding.
Well, the kind of the passion that they have shown for... I guess protecting their local community. I think
because there's people camping out near Sydney Park.
Oh yes, yeah. People have been working really hard on this for several years.
My favourite story was the guy who had to chase off demolition crews multiple times. That his house, so some houses were demolished.
Oh yes,
were
in slated, Haberfield. Yeah, yeah.
But one bloke, his house was not slated for demolition. And, the demolition crews want to know why he's still in the house. And they had the bulldozer out the front.
Really?
Yeah.
And he was like, you can take my freedom, but you can't take my house. Yeah. It was Scottish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I think he was Pat.
Yeah, in the Inner West, if the community is upset with the government, they'll definitely be out in the streets and they'll be doing something about it, you know what I mean? But on the Northern Beaches, in my foray living in the Northern Beaches the past 4 years, it's been very romantic. I've been eating lots of oysters and stuff like that.
They don't have the problems.
They number one, don't have any problems. And number two, they have so many problems. But it's more of they're like a letter writing community, Like they'll just get a big Facebook event on and let them know that way. You don't have the passion in the streets, you know what I mean?
Look, the people of the Inner West do like writing letters and emails
do they really?
As well. Yes, absolutely. You got to do several things. You got to do the petitions. You got to do the protests.
Different angles to get at the
government. You got to chain yourself to houses that are going to be
reclaim
demolished.
The street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Reclaim the Streets rally made me, young creative, late to a gig once.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, I couldn't get out of Newtown.
Me, so we have a big thank you for that. We've got better.
Don't worry, I made it to the lounge on time. I crushed. Don't worry.
Oh, God. The lounge is a fantastic comedy night. Do you go to much comedy?
So one of my friends did some stand up comedy at the old Star Bar. Is it still called Star Bar?
Yes,
that's still called kind Star Bar. Of like new comedy people, I think, doing their sort of first stand-up gigs.
We have to be careful what we say about it.
It's horrible.
I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, the performers, there's nothing wrong with the performers, but the organization,
a lot of good acts
of that place
going
is just,
there.
Just abysmal. No, like, you pay $25, right-ish?
Yeah,
I've heard people paying like up to $40
to
there.
See some new.
Oh, really?
Like, if you pay $40, you can go and see like some of the great showcases of Sydney Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some of the
I'm not saying that your mate wasn't that quality. By the way.
He was excellent. His name's Travis.
Travis.
So shout out to Travis from the Central Coast.
Ooh.
From Wyoming.
We love Central Coast
comedians are fantastic, I reckon.
Yeah, he was great. He was definitely the best person.
But he's given it away now. He's.
Look, I think he's just trying to fit it in around work and other commitments.
And then 9-hour journey.
Let's go.
No, 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
You know, express.
But once you're elected, it'll be only 80. Is that right?
Yeah. That trip is beautiful. I love that trip in the Central Coast on the train. That's fantastic.
So let's go. So how long have you been a member of the Labor Party?
I've been a member for about 10 years now.
Sweet.
Yes, so I joined in 2008.
There you go.
Wow. How do you go about doing that?
Look, I got involved when I went to Sydney Uni as an undergrad and just got involved.
Politics.
Yes, student politics. Just got involved with on-campus stuff. I think the first thing I got involved with was I think they were trying to cut all the third-year history electives or something.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really enraged by this. I want to major in history. How dare you stop me from learning? Of course, it was history totally focused on Western civilization stuff. But
I in my mind, I thought that you were just like doing that for the community, like for the university. But it was you wanted to study history.
Yes, I did definitely want to study history. My mum's an archivist, so you know I've got so that's a type of historian. Basically.
I was going to say I don't know what that word is.
Someone who looks after records
they archive
and
things.
Old. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Old
now you spell
things.
It out for me. It makes more sense. Yeah.
Archivist. You might have heard it as.
Yeah. Well, it's bad echo in here. So that's when you got into it at uni? And
you get involved with on-campus stuff.
You hand out flyers to students who are trying to get to class, is that what
yes,
you mean?
Yeah, annoy people outside the library and run in student elections and,
What were the names of your, because the
tickets
that we ran on? Energize.
Oh, yeah, Energize, Stand Up. The year that I ran for president of the student rep council at Sydney Uni, we were called Activate, and we'd gone back to Activate.
you got to
laugh.
Yeah.
I've still got all the old T-shirts and everything.
Oh, that's a great throwback.
The people who ran just before me, I think they ran on Now! !! Which I always enjoyed. And then, of course, we had Oniswa, the student newspaper, and they had all kinds of hilarious names for their tickets. So, yeah, it was good fun. Although no one ever ran on, a friend of mine and I always joked that it would have been great to have an Oniswa newspaper ticket called Moist. No one ever wanted to run on that, and we couldn't understand why.
Well, I don't even know why. Just you saying that word made me
physically
shut up, to be honest.
And so now the pre-selection process, was that – did you instigate that or did they come to you? How does this work?
So, basically what happens in the Labor Party, because we're very democratic, every 4 years or whatever, for the state election, what comes up is we call for nominations for candidates to run in –
Yep.
In all the seats that we well, – actually, all the seats, including sitting MPs, have to basically re-nominate.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the branch members will say, yes, we'd like you to continue being our sitting MP and our candidate.
Sure.
But as we've seen, the Liberal Party have just recently rolled a few people who are sitting MPs to run new candidates,
which
I think is crazy.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's totally crazy, particularly if they're sitting MPs. It's like they're clearly – can win elections, so
What do you think, as a politically thinking person, what's the logic behind that?
Usually it's probably just because different groups want to, they want to flex their muscles and show that, I've got the numbers in these branches and rah, rah, rah. But look, what happened in Balmain is, no one was kind of interested in putting their hand up. There was a lot of interest in the branch members for a woman to run. And so I kind of said, this could be something I could have a go at.
Give it a crack.
Never mind my PhD or other
things. Sounds like getting into
comedy.
You
sound way too busy, by the way.
Yeah. I am a little busy. I think things will probably get quite busy leading up to the 23rd of March next year. I intend to take a long holiday afterwards.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Surely you intend to take your seat in the parliament afterwards?
Look, it's going to be a really tough battle. Yes, it's only a 4.5% swing, which is definitely doable.
Yeah.
But it is challenging to knock off a sitting MP who's already got, a lot of name recognition.
Of course, and it's three times.
Yeah, so he's already been in for 2 terms
for 8 years. So that's a bit of a daunting task, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is. But I think that there's a lot of local issues that I think have really not had any focus at all. And I think that if I, I think that people deserve to, get some new representation. I think it is very difficult when you've been in for several terms to show to the electorate what you've delivered on, and I think that's one of the challenging things for a party like the Greens is they're not a party of government generally, unless they're in, say, coalition or in minority government as they were with Labor in 2010 with Julia Gillard.
Yeah.
If you're not a party of government, it's very hard to actually deliver on things for the community.
Yeah, right.
So that's one of the barriers, and that's why whenever people say to me, I'm kind of left-wing and progressive and, I want to get involved in politics, what party should I join? And I sort of say, look, if you want to kind of do stuff on the sidelines and, do your campaigns and everything, do all of that, I'm sure you could go and join the Greens and you could do lots of stuff through them. But if you actually want to make change and be in a party of government who can actually make a huge difference in people's lives, then you should join Labor.
Yeah.
Even if sometimes Labor does seem a bit, to corrupt. The right.
Sorry.
Those people are no longer members of the Labor
Party.
Wait,
before we get onto that, right, because I'm drawing the parallel to the subject that we were talking about before. You have government and then you have the different factions of the government, right? And there's always the little differences. From outsider's perspective, they might look similar, like Liberal and Labor Party might look similar. You don't really know, and Greens, potentially. It really reminds me of jiu-jitsu.
Nice segue.
Thank you. Because jiu-jitsu, very well, you have the different factions, the differences between the different styles of jiu-jitsu.
Well, you've got all the slightly different moves and they're just, slightly different.
But yeah.
At the end of the day, an armbar is very different to a choke. So,
I don't know what you're talking about, but I love it. How long have you, we were talking about this before we started recording, and I think it's so fascinating. I love that you and your partner do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I think that's super cool. When did you start doing jiu-jitsu?
So I started doing jiu-jitsu, I should say Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm. Rather than Japanese, for all those people out there.
Yes. Sort of halfway through 2016. So my partner is actually a purple belt. And he was training for a number of years with, a Brazilian guy. And then he was kind of, encouraging me to, come along and have a go and stuff. And we'd sort of been doing a bit of training at home.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of started going and,
really
it was fun. Yeah, well, it's a real challenge. Like, when you become an adult, you sort of get used to, being good at things. But it's a weird experience to kind of start as a total beginner at something.
Oh, totally.
And I think as well, the scientific evidence says that's actually really good for your brain.
To be doing jiu-jitsu or to be doing something brand new for you.
Yeah. Something that takes up a lot of kind of brain space and energy. And, you build new neural pathways and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so learning new things is actually good for people.
Yeah. And what belt do you have?
So I'm a white belt.
You're a white belt.
Yes. Look, when I can get to training, I try and go.
Okay, so you don't even do it.
I did actually go on Tuesday night, okay. And that was great. I just got totally flogged for a whole hour, but
Do you like that sense of like being sort of in danger like that? Like it's something that's... Because that's what I really liked about boxing when I did boxing. I kind of liked that I was getting in a controlled environment. I was having a fight, you know? There was something quite really...
Yeah, I don't know what it is about it. I mean, there is a kind of sense of satisfaction you get at manoeuvring someone into a position that then they just like can't get out of, and then you just, you know, crank on a choke or like a Kimura or something.
Yeah.
And then they tap and you're just like, yes, I am, you know, I am amazing.
100%.
Yeah, it's a great sort of feeling. But equally then you also have to deal with the feeling of when others do that to you and then you finally go, all right, I'm just going to tap. Oh, and then for anyone listening, you when you're rolling in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's really important for you to tap when you have basically reached your limit.
Yeah, so if somebody has your arm bar out and your elbow's about to pop out of the socket,
you tap. Yeah.
Somebody's just about to choke you out, so you're going to get pass out.
So do you always have one arm free to tap?
Well, I mean, you can tap with your foot or you could just yell out, tap.
Okay. Yeah. But you have to do it in Brazilian. I mean, Portuguese.
Portuguese. Yeah, I don't know what
nobody does. See, that's why a lot of people pass out. In the UFC, they get confused.
You know the different colour belts? You can just buy them.
Can you really?
Yeah, you just buy them. You don't have to, like, that's a bit of a rigmarole with that whole
that would process. Be very controversial. But you
can
just buy
them. Can you imagine...
Or dye them yourself if you're into that.
Can you imagine that you're at jiu-jitsu and this guy just rocks up with two black belts that he's bought wrapped around his waist?
You can just dye... The white one's very easy to dye.
I'll tell you what...
Actually, the black belt community in Australia is probably small enough that most people would know... all the black belts in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, at least in Sydney, for example.
Yeah, yeah. And how long does it take to get up to being a black belt?
It depends how much you train. Like, okay. There are people out there who train, like, every day for 5 years or 6 years or something. And I'm sure you could become a black belt, you know, in sort of that length of time. You know, and, for example, UFC fighters, a lot of them, if they're not already doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, they'll start really training and then, you know, they'll usually get to black belt pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, of course. So can take 5 years, can take 15 years, depending if...
Look, in my case, it'll probably take me a good 20 years. I mean, look, if I get elected as the member for Balmain next March, it'll take me quite a while before I'll be able
true
to say...
No Greens candidate will try and get re-elected against you if you're a black belt.
Yeah, I know. I'll just have that on all of my materials, you know.
The funniest posters ever. Like,
would you like to call out your opponents for a cage fight, an octagon fight?
Definitely.
You know, and whoever loses has to concede. Would you be willing to go out on a limb on Dirty Thunder Radio Club?
Look, and challenge I'm probably what's his name, seeing James? My opponent later tonight at a community meeting.
Perfect time to strike.
Yes.
Get in with the element of surprise.
We had Jackson Kelly, pro wrestler, on the Pat Doherty late night show, and he called out his opponent, Mick Moretti.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
So we're very happy.
We're happy to accommodate any sort of challenges.
We will host the fight.
Yeah. I think you should do a debate in a cage. That would be hilarious.
A debate in a cage.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of worse than actually doing a cage fight.
Yeah, okay. You know. Hey, listen, we're just...
Will there be debates? Will there be debates like the proper...
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Closer, there'll be community flora. Or town hall kind of things that people organise.
And you've done a bit of that. You've got a bit of practice.
Look, you know, a lot of the people that come along to those sort of events, most of the time they've usually made up their mind well before and they're pretty rusted on voters. The people who are kind of less engaged, they tend to not really make up their minds until much closer to the election.
Yeah. You know one thing that I noticed that it's... it's filtered water. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah. We always mention the filtered water.
We don't have a vase, so we just have to use the kettle. But the people generally will just vote for what their parents... who their parents vote for. Do you think? Or do you think that... after a while they can kind of shake that.
That's not always true.
And that's not always true, but do you think it's a big factor?
Yes and no. So, I mean, both my parents are pretty hardcore Labour people, which I sort of resisted for a while because I'm like, oh, I'm too left-wing for the Labour Party. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then you sort of come around to it and you begrudgingly say to your parents, oh, yeah, maybe you were right. But, you know, in comparison, my brother is kind of, his politics are a bit less clear. He loves voting for kind of your sort of slightly unusual independent candidates. I mean, I think the first time he voted, he was working at this bottle shop in Bexley or Bexley North, and some guy who was running for parliament like came in to talk to, like, you know, and ask him if he could put up a sign or something.
Yeah.
And my brother was like, yeah, this guy seems pretty cool. I'll vote for him. And I remember my parents at the time being totally appalled. They were like, how dare you not vote for the local Labour candidate? But
retail politics.
Retail politics is huge. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, my brother is like really passionate about the environment. Yeah. So, you know, I guess he's probably more of your kind of issues-based person. He will vote for the person who says that they'll stop, you know, logging native forests or something, or, you know, protecting koalas or doing stuff like that.
Yeah, so rather than a brand vote.
Yeah. And I totally, you know, I think that we need to have people out there like my brother who, you know, does stand for a particular issue or is really passionate about a certain cause.
And sells everyone their beers.
Well, no, he doesn't work in a bottle shop anymore.
Do you... Who when you started, who was like a big who was a big sort of mentor to you, or who did you really look up to in the Labour Party?
So Tanya Plibersek's probably one. You know, she obviously got elected back in 1998. I think she was 29 or 30 or something at the
at sounds
the time.
Familiar.
And I actually worked for her for a couple of years in 2011, 2012. So that was, a great opportunity. And, you know, she's a fantastic local member, but she's also just, you know, an incredibly warm kind of person and, you know, has really a really strong kind of sense of social justice and values, you know. And she's also really kind of honest and kind of no bullshit and everything, which, you know, I think it's really nice to have politicians who are who are like that.
Oh, it's the best, yeah, for sure.
So she's someone who I, who I've really looked up to and who has been, you know, a mentor to me. And look, there's lots of other people as well.
I've read Verity Firth.
Verity. So I worked on her campaigns in 2011 and 2015. She's been fantastic as well. You know, I think you're usually drawn to people who sort of share the same kind of views and values as you do. And, you know, I think particularly for kind of women in politics, you know, there's both, you know, really fantastic women that you look up to, but there's also, you know, great men who will also support you and get in behind you. So like Darcy Byrne, who's the mayor of Inner West Council. You know, he's been an incredibly strong supporter of mine. You know, and it's great to have that kind of, you know, range of people. So, yeah.
It's brilliant having the growing, like, presence of women in government. It's, like, the best thing ever, especially
well,
for,
well, our government, you know, I hope we make better policies. I mean, I was sitting in... I was at... Labor was doing the budget reply today, and I went into Parliament to watch some of it. And I sort of noticed along the government benches, I think there were like three women or something.
Oh, wow.
And then there were just like, you know, 50 like weird, creepy old dudes. Yeah. And I was like, seriously, this is the government? Like,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
We kind of need government to look like the community. Like it needs to look like the people voting them in. But
surely.
For some strange reason...
It's just, this weird little vacuum that they live in.
Where they have strange views, like they have really odd views about, you know, abortion law reform and, you know, other stuff. And they think that people who, you know, use drugs should all be in prison and, you know, be in prison forever. And, you know, so it's kind of weirdly unrepresentative for...
How does it get so peculiarly skewed? Like, because it's been like that since I've been a kid, you know. It's just like it's the same guy not technically the same guy, but it's the same guy that's in charge with the same views and the same way of speaking, blah, blah, blah.
I think sort of sometimes the parties are a bit responsible for it, just in the way that they're organised. And, you know, to get a vote, you have to go along to a certain number of meetings per year and that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
So I think that there's definitely ways that parties can kind of look at, you know, how do we get different kinds of people engaged? You know, should we, for example, be pushing for like 16 to 18 year olds to be able to have a vote and stuff?
Ooh, that's an interesting subject. What do you
look?
What
if I was 16, I would say yes.
Yeah, that's so true.
Look, I would definitely be in favour of looking at enfranchising 16 and 17 year olds. I think it makes sense.
Optional enrolment.
Well, yeah, you could do an optional thing. I don't know whether then that would make the sort of weird, creepy dudes currently in government then sort of say to all their weird, creepy, like, children, oh, you should make sure you get enrolled so we can continue, you know, making abortion illegal or something. Yeah.
Imagine that pitch, a father to his son. Yeah. Come on, make sure you vote so we can, like, that's the platform.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's probably a conversation they had down in Canberra or something somewhere. Alfie's, I mean, generally weird people come from Canberra now, like Alfie.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sorry.
Canberra's not that bad.
No.
You have to say that.
Well, I mean, I don't ever have to really go to Canberra, but I do really like Canberra.
Really?
There's a nice... It's kind of got a nice vibe to it. I mean, it's very quiet.
Mm.
Yeah, we're going to finish our light rails sometime soon, so, you know.
Oh, you're going to finish your light rails? Yeah. All right, no need to brag, buddy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So what we wanted to do next is we've got some campaign ideas for you.
Here we go. Yeah, we've got campaign ideas.
So you already suggested one before, which was a cage fight with my opponent.
Yep.
Yeah, that was just
so how did we land on that one? Did we... That's a no?
I will go back and speak to my campaign team about it, but I... would think that the answer is no.
Okay, so that's a
political consultants for hire. So when you go back, you're going to tell them you've met with some crack political consultants that have got... I got Richard J. Warwick elected school captain in year 10.
Yep. I got Johnny Sousidas elected SRC in year 5.
Excellent, yes.
So pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I was just running mate as well later record. On.
And that was before we were working together.
Yeah, then Johnny got assassinated, actually. In year 5, it was terrible.
That's horrible. When he was bodyguard.
It was a spitball.
Oh, spitball incident.
In his throat, and he choked. Yeah. He didn't die. He just had to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So all right. You want to kick off first?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously you're going to be doing a bit of door knocking.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That's big.
Yep.
That's big. Door knocking. That's a big one. So we've got some twists on these classics. So what we're thinking of, instead of just political door knocking, what about political knock and run, right? So knock, run, but leave behind a card of one of your opponents so that they think that they did it.
I thought you were about to say leave something else. And I was thinking, oh, God, let's not go there.
No comment. No, this is a
one
of
the same
clean
thing,
podcast.
Really, to be honest. Your opponent's business cards and what you're thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think?
What do you think that could work?
Anything in that one?
I'd have to say pass on
pass.
That one.
Oh, okay. We got a pass on that one.
Yeah, we didn't check the electoral laws. We just want to make that clear. That's that's an extra. That's an extra fee if you want that part.
I'm
of
pretty
consulting.
Sure, like annoying people is not good practice.
Yeah, but they won't know it was you. I don't
yeah, they might think it was I don't know whoever's running for the Libs. I don't.
Yes, so that's.
I don't even know who the candidate is.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody in Balmain does.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, actually, the Liberal candidate came first on first preferences in 2011.
Oh. What?
Which was, it was interesting. It was a strange night.
That's a very odd thing for Balmain. That's like the first time ever
I think people were just so fed up with Labor that they just kind of...
Can't imagine why people would be fed up with New South Wales Labor.
Look at this.
Look, hey,
everybody at home is getting up and punching a fist into a palm.
I'm in a chokehold. I'm in a Brazilian.
We don't use.
Yeah, I'm currently in a chokehold, but I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
Now, have you kissed many babies yet?
Oh, yeah.
No.
You don't do the kissing the babies?
I do have a friend who lives in Leichhardt, or actually maybe she lives in Haberfield, and she has a very cute 10-month-year-old.
Kiss that baby. Well, but what about other thing? We're thinking
because
the
thing is that the inner west, inner westians, by you know as a general rule of thumb, love their pets.
Right. That is true.
So
we want to get you out to the dog park,
mm-hmm.
and we want you kissing dogs,
some schnauzers, something like this. What do you think?
Yeah,
look, I do like dogs, but I find dog slobber a bit gross. Yeah. There's just something a bit divided.
This is going to be dividing issue, I think.
We're going to have
people of Haberfield. They've got the Poppy Cafe down there.
Yeah. Haberfield is now in the Summerhill electorate, though.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, well, screw that. Yeah.
Forget about it. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. You know, they've been holding back the Balmain.
So have you got a stump speech? Is that a thing that you have?
A stump speech?
Yeah, a stump speech.
What is that?
That you break out.
Oh, okay. So this is... We've been studying politics for a long time.
Long time.
And
definitely the 20 minutes before this started.
Do you want to explain
Maybe it's a bit of an American thing.
I think it definitely is, but would you like to explain what it is?
But do you have to do speeches, like little speeches on
I mean at events you know.
But it's different each time. You don't have like a...
Yeah, well, I mean if it's about a particular issue or...
A stump speech is, it's like, it seems to...
It's like the canned one. Yeah, it's based on the idea of standing on a stump and talking to the locals.
Oh, right.
You know, exactly. So you would have the regular, you would have the same speech that you would just do in different spots. It wouldn't be like on a particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that reminded us of like a, in stand-up comedy, you have like a tight five. It's like 5 minutes of material. That's your killer stuff.
Oh, right. You know? Okay.
So we're just, they're the same thing, technically.
Yeah, we try to relate everything to stand-up comedy.
Yeah. So do you have, what we're trying to get at here, is do you have like an opener that you always go for with your speeches? And like, do you always hit these certain points and then close strong with something pre-prepared?
Yeah, what are the big talking points? What gets the crowd going?
Look, usually I just introduce myself and I tell people what my background is. And it usually engages people because they're sort of like, oh, a health researcher. We don't sort of get many of those around here. Mm-hmm. There's always the sort of talking points or the lines that you use and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, the thing today from Labor was like, you know, the waste and mismanagement and the wrong priorities of the Liberal government.
Yeah.
You know, you try and feed in, you know, points like that.
Okay.
You know, obviously if it fits, I mean, people can see through it if it, you know, if it's not kind of you or if you're just kind of, you know, saying something that you read off a talking point that you prepared earlier. Like people do want some kind of genuine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I was wondering if you do any pivots today, you know, if I was going to ask you about the White Bay Cruise Terminal, if you were going to pivot to what I really want to talk about is Callum Park and the inaction there.
Do you want me to talk about the White Bay Cruise Terminal? I don't know how much longer it's going to be there for.
You know why? The only reason I brought it up is because when we were doing our research on like the Sydney Morning Herald article about your campaign, about the seat, about your
run. Oh, yes, the one where they
just every
me.
Second comment was
something about,
dare I say, whinger from Balmain complaining about the Labor Party's decision to put the White Bay Cruise Terminal there.
Well, we don't want to keep you. We know that you got a meeting, so we really appreciate you coming through. And that's
all good.
That's super lovely of you. So thank you. And it would be awesome if you could come back potentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you need anybody to host any events for your campaign,
a cage fight, for example,
we could do it 100%.
And that's about all we have time for on the Dirty Thunder Radio Club. Make sure you like us on Facebook, subscribe, and all that sort of good stuff. Pat, what's happening this week at Dirty Thunder? What do you got coming up?
That's my Michael Jackson impersonation. Tonight, live from Hive Bar, we have the Hive Bar Horror Comedy Night. Every Thursday night, $5 upstairs, supported by Batch Brewery.
Love a bit of Batch.
Love a bit of Batch Brewery. Love a bit of Batch. Think about it, Batch Brewery. It's a good slogan. Tonight, we've got Lizzie Hu emceeing, Fran Middleton, Dan Rath, and Ben Koshin, Benny Bing Bong Koshin, Luke Joseph Ryan, and myself. So that's going to be a really fun show. And it's upstairs at Hive Bar, one of the coolest bars in the Inner West. It's only $5, so definitely come along. And Alfie?
We're going to play this out with a song. We're going to finish this episode with a song, aren't we, Pat? This band, a little tasty little band from Brisbane who sound like the most beautiful cowgirl you've ever seen. Had a baby with the crustiest surf barnacle on the whole of the northern beaches. Do yourself a favour, crack this track, close your eyes and pretend you're driving a 1970s Holden Monare coupe through Wagga Wagga in the summertime.
The band's called Mexican Night Snake and the song is called Moon Race. Guess what, little babies? I love each and every one of you. You're so beautiful. Have a great week.
Catch you next time.